Good evening, Bruchim Abayim, to this Maimed of Kavanah Torah. Before we begin with the program, I'd like to take the opportunity to make a few announcements and important mentions. Baruch Hashem, we are graced with the presence of Rabbanim and leaders of our community in Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Maizdos. There are a few Rabbanim that were not able to make it, but requested that it should be mentioned in their name. A welcome and a bracha, Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro from Shari Tfila, who had to go to Eretz Yisrael for the yahrzeit of his father, and as well Rabbi Lehrfield, who had surgery and is still in the process of recuperating. This has been a long time coming, and there's been a long process to get here. And many people played a very key role, an integral role, in ensuring the continuity of the Kollel, the strength of the Kollel, and in this process of hiring our new Rosh Kollel. It would be impossible and inappropriate, frankly, for me to start mentioning everybody by name who deserves to be mentioned, just in case I might forget, which happens to me often, unfortunately. But I think, with Rishus, I want to mention Hakaras HaTov to the Board of Directors, and everybody knows who they are. They know who they are. The people involved with searching and interviewing, of course, the Hanholas HaYeshiva, who gave so much of their time and effort, and people locally. One in particular, I think, deserves particular mention. He might not agree with me and probably will be upset with me for saying it, but it was consensus that he deserves this mention. Rabbi Ephraim Lazerson and his mishpacha, who hosted kimat every single one of the candidates that came down and opened their home graciously. It is a home that, without doubt, brings Kavanah Torah to our community and is an example of the type of Torah that we have built in our city. I also want to mention that we wouldn't be here today without the tremendous amount of effort, Monsieur Snefesh, and dedication from the previous Rosh Kollel, Rabbi Schmelzer. And we wish him much hatzlach in all his future endeavors. And I was thinking, what would I begin with in order to keep this program going and make sure that it doesn't last too long, and definitely not to listen to me speak. But I feel I must say something. There's a fascinating Chassam Sofer and a very well-known Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Al shleisha dvarim ha'olam oimet, al ha'Torah ve'al avodah ve'al gemilus chasodim." There's three things in which the world sustains itself on: Torah, avodah, and gemilus chasodim. And the Chassam Sofer is bothered. Why is it that of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, Gemilus Chasodim is singled out and made into an omud in which the world can sustain itself on? There's wonderful mitzvahs in the Torah, all very important ones, fundamental ones, and yet Gemilus Chasodim is hand-picked and extracted from the Torah and given its own role as being one of the maimed in which the world can sustain itself. What's the pshat? And he says an amazing chiddush, really fascinating thought. He says that when you talk about Gemilas Chasodim in terms of the normal translation of the word and the way people perform the acts of kindness, one to their neighbor, to their friends, doing chesed, being kind and polite, opening one's home to guests, and even helping feed the poor and needy, taking care of the sick, all those are important things, and they are kiyum mitzvah of Gemilas Chasodim. But there are also things in which the world itself is mekabel. They understand, even by the goyim, even by the medinois, they have these ideas of taking care of the needy and the poor. It's not exclusive to us in Klal Yisrael. He says, and even furthermore, if you think about it in terms of a person who's needy and comes to a community that leaves behind maybe an opportunity for wealth, leaves behind an opportunity for a decent living, a parnasa, a home, a lifestyle that's taken care of. And they go to a different city, a different town, and they plop themselves there, and then with nothing, and expect the city to reach out and take care of them, maybe mefarnes them, and open their homes to them, people would feel that, you know, that's a little bit too much, that's a stretch. You know, how much are you going to, you know, if you can take care of yourself, and if you left behind, you know, everything good, just to come here so you can be on the dole and take from everybody, that's not so appropriate. And I think most people would frown upon that, says the Chassam Sofer. It's not something that most people would jump to do, with one exception. If the people that leave where they're coming from is to be Lovdei Torah, to be Ovdei Hashem, so then not only are we willing to be Mefarnes, to help and to ensure that all the aspects of Gemilas Chasadim are given to that person, but we do it with an excitement, we do it with a want, with a desire, with a passion. People who leave their comforts, they could have left a Givaldika home, a beautiful home, Parnosa even. They could have left family that would have taken care of all their needs, and yet they leave everything to come to a different city, and then they plop themselves down, but they're doing it with the intention of Torah learning and enhancing the Torah lifestyle of a community. Says the Chassam Sofer, there is no greater act of Gemilas Chasodim than being Mefarnes and helping those individuals. That's the greatest Gemilas Chasodim. So much so, says the Chassam Sofer, that's the one that the Mishnah is talking about. It's not talking about a regular act of Gemilas Chasodim, a regular act of kindness that a person may do for his neighbor, his friend. The Amud in which the whole Olam stands on and sustained on is the chesed that we do when we are being mefarnes and being mekayim a moiser atayra with loim de tayra who are the yoyshev yoyim v'layla v'higisaboy being mekayim the most important of all mitzvahs, dedicating their life to tayra and building tayra and enhancing the tayra lives of our community. They're doing a tremendous chesed to us, allowing us to do the chesed for them. And that's the moment in which the whole world sustains itself on. That's what our kollel is, and that's what we have to work together as a community to strengthen and reinforce. And now with a new leader, a new Rosh HaKollel, whose talents and his capabilities are clear and evident to everybody who knows and sees him, we have expectations, high expectations, that this kollel will continue to be the source, the bright light of Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim of our community. You know, as people wonder, the shaykhis, what's the yichus of a kollel, where it comes from. So, working for Agudas Yisrael, I have to say that when you belong to something that is bigger than you, in a greater scheme of things, you feel good when you go away, that you're still connected to a mesayla and a shayrish that keeps you strong, that keeps you focused, that keeps you with an identity, with a mesayla of das tayra, of gedele tayra. When you have a kollel opening up in a community, it needs to also feel connected. You have younger light, they're going out, they're leaving everything behind. Their strength and their ability, their foundation to succeed, has to be their connection to the mesayla, the connection to gedele tayra. And that's why it's important that we understand and recognize that our kollel is a community kollel, but it's a Lakewood kollel. It has a shayrish, it has a mesayla. A Messiah of Torah, a Messiah of building Torah, a Messiah of being the Mashpi HaTorah of our generation. There's not a single community in the world that's not impacted by the Avodas HaKodesh that comes out from that yeshiva. It's a great schus for us, tremendous schus for us, and a tremendous kavod that we should have the Rosh Yeshiva with us at this moment, and we'd like to hear a few words of Divrei Bracha from the Rosh Yeshiva.
Thank you, Ben David, Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Kollel from the city, Chashav Rabbonim, Chol HaKol HaKodesh Hazeh, Chavi HaKollel, Chol HaKol HaKodesh Hazeh. In the Parsha, we've told this coming week Parsha. Parsha describes Yaakov Avinu as being an ishtam yoshev eholim, which means that Yaakov Avinu sat and learned He was a Yoshev, a Holim, a Yoshev, Olei Shal Shem, Olei Shal Evin. He dwelled in the tents of Olei Shal Shem, Olei Shal Evin. Another Chazal says is that in the Batak Nasi, it's about Medrashas. Yaakov Avinu is a Yoshev, a Holim. I mean to say that Yaakov spent his time learning. He spent his time learning Torah. But it's very interesting that the way the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu sat and learned was by telling us that he's a tent dweller, that he dwelled in tents. That's the only mention of the fact that Yaakov Avinu sat and learned. He dwelled in the tents of Torah. Why is it so important? Of course, but the Knesset, but the Midrashis, is a good place to learn Torah. I'm sure Yaakov Avinu would have learned Torah anywhere. He chose a good place to learn Torah. He chose at the tents of Olei Shel Shem, Olei Shel Eiver. That's where he chose to learn Torah. What is that, Gosha? Why is the emphasis of the Torah on Yaakov Avinu's learning is that it dwelled in the tents of Torah? We find the same thing. Chazal tell us on the Pasuk in Parshas Chukas, Zoyis HaTorah Odom Ki Yomuz Bo'oil. Ein HaTorah Miskayemes Ela B'misha Meimis Atzmoy Oleho. The Torah's only existence only stays, only remains by somebody that is Meimis, he's Moshe Nefesh, he kills himself for the Torah, he gives himself over totally for the Torah. And again, the Lashon of the Pasuk is the Lashon of the Pasuk is Zayis HaTorah Adam Ki Yomuz Bo'oil. He's Meimis Atzmoy in the tent. The main idea is that he's Meimis Atzmoy to learn Torah. He gives himself over for Torah. What is the mention of the tent? Why is that so important? This is the third place, Matoivu Alecha Yaakov, over there. The Gemara also says, Matoivu Alecha Yaakov, is about the Nesiyas, about the Midrashas. Over there, the Torah is being Mishabeach, the Bracha of Bilam was for the Aholim, for the tents of Torah. Over there is Nishta Gevelach, not so shver. But in Matoivu Alecha Yaakov, Ki Yomiz Ba'oil, and Yaakov's time, Yoshev Aholim, that Gosha is that it, that Gosh is that, it, that he dwelled in the tents. What does it mean? We find by that bracha from Bilam. Bilam gave a bracha for Klal Yisrael, Matoivu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanesecha Yisrael. He gave many brachas to Klal Yisrael. In that Gemara alone, the Gemara is Mefarish 11 brachas. In that series of brachas, there were three times that he gave brachas. In that series alone, there were 11 brachas that he gave. And the Gemara says that one of the brachas was Matoivu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanesecha Yisrael Eile Batek Nesiyas Abatim Medrashas. These are the Batek Nesiyas Abatim Medrashas. The Eholim is Batek Nesiyas Abatim Medrashas. And the Gemara says that all the other brachas of Bilam, eventually they turned back against Klai Yisrael to be a klala. Kulam Chosul a klala. Except for one bracha, the bracha Matoivu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanesecha Yisrael. That bracha was the only bracha that stayed as a bracha. And the Gemara learns it from a pasuk. Parshas Kisaisa, the pasuk says, "Le'ov Hashem lekechol l'shmoy el Bilam." The Ben Shlom did not dare to listen to Bilam. Vayafich Hashem alakech lochos haklolu lebrocha. The Rebbe Shlom turned over the klolu to brocha. Ki ahevcha Hashem alakech. Because the Ebishter has love for a Klal Yisrael. And therefore he turned over the klolu to a brocha. So the Gemara says there were many klolus that turned over to brochas. It should have said, Vayafich Hashem alakech lochos haklolu is lebrochas. Why does the Pasuk say, Vayafich Hashem alakech lochos haklolu lebrocha? And Lashon is a singular Lashon. You should have said a plural lashon. So the Gemara says, because it's not going on the time of the bracha itself. It's going on the further time, further, and which kufis of later times in Klal Yisrael, later generations or periods in Klal Yisrael, that all of the klolos of Bilam returned to, all the brachas of Bilam turned back to being a klola, except for this one bracha of Matoivu Oyalecha Yaakov Mishkinesecha Yisrael. So the question is, and so the Gemara learns it from the pasuk, V'yapach Hashem Elokecha Elokecha, it's a klola, one klola turned into a bracha. That's the klola of Matoivu Oyalecha Yaakov Mishkinesecha Yisrael. The pasuk says, Le'ova Hashem Elokecha Mishmoyal Bilam, the Rebbein Shalom didn't listen to Bilam. He didn't want to listen to Bilam. And he turned the klola to a bracha. Why? Because the Eibishter has a love for Klal Yisrael. In that Gemara alone, there's 11 klolas, 11 brachas. 10 of them turned to klola. One of them remained a bracha. That's Kehev Hashem Lekecha. Where's the love for Klal Yisrael? The love for Klal Yisrael, if 10 of them turned back to klola, Bishleima, if it would have been going on the tkufa of the bracha itself, we can understand very well. Then he didn't let Bilam do as he intended to say a klola, and instead he said a bracha. But it was going on a later period in Klal Yisrael when they turned back to klolas. So where's the kahevcha? That's the love that he left over one out of 10 brachas, and many more from the earlier series of brachas that he gave. So the Gemara is telling us that when a person is in the Bata Knesiyas or Bata Midrashis, if a person is in the Bata Knesiyas and the Bata Midrashis, if a person finds himself B'toich L'Kais Le'ha B'Samedrish, we'll soon see what that means, none of the Klolis can reach Klal Yisrael. None of the Klal Yisrael can penetrate the walls of the Bata Knesiyas and Bata Midrashis. The Bata Knesiyas and Bata Midrashis is a mokum of bracha. It's a makim which has mechitzas. It has walls. And in those walls, the klola of Bilam, why did all the brachas turn back to klola? Because sof, the ayin ra of Bilam was there in these brachas. It went through Bilam, the brachas went through Bilam's nevuah, Bilam's ayin. And therefore, the ayin ra creeped in slowly back into the brachas and they turned back to klolas. But the walls of the Beis HaMedrash does not allow the brachas, the klolas of Bilam to enter them. The Ayin Ra cannot break through these walls. We find a similar thing by Esav. Yaakov Avinu, the next parasha, runs away from Esav. And he runs away from Esav. He was afraid that Esav would come to kill him, and he runs away from Esav, and on the way he stops off in Beshem Ve'eber for 14 years. If you'd ask Esav, where would be the first place that Esav would look for Yaakov? He's hiding. Where would he be hiding? Beshem Ve'eber. That's hiding. Esav can't figure out that that's where he is. If a young man would disappear from Miami. So the first thing he asked is, he'd like to learn. He likes to learn somewhere where you look for him. Lakewood, Yerushalayim. That's where you look for him. If he likes other things, you look over there. So where would he look for him? So what kind of hiding is this? He's going to the Beis Shem Ve'eber. But Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Pnu Lechem Tzafoyin in Pashas Dvorim, that if Klal Yisrael sees that Esav is coming on us, Klal Yisrael sees that Esav is coming to hurt us, we should hide ourselves. Shetan Chazal, where should we hide ourselves? In the Torah. The Torah has walls, has mechitzas. The Torah in the Bat Nesiyas and the Bat Midrashas. It's a world in itself. It's a world that Esav can't reach. He knows exactly where Yankov is. But he can't go through, he can't break through these walls. He can't go in there even if he knows where he is. It's off limits. He doesn't have the kalim. He doesn't have. It's a totally different wavelength. He can't reach into those walls. If we hide ourselves in Torah, if we live in Torah, we'll soon see what that means. Then nothing can happen. Then Esav cannot reach us. Esav cannot break through these walls. Zok the Gemara, the bracha of Bilam of Matoivu Oyalecha Yaakov gives us walls. That over there is kulei bracha. Over there, the hashpa of Esav can't reach us. The hashpa, the influence of Bilam can't reach us. Over there, we are protected from all the klolos. But the question is, they're ashamed. Very good when someone's a mismedush. And what happens when people are not a mismedush? When people go home, when people go to work, even people that are terasim and nasim, clearly the light, they also leave the mismedush. They don't sit in mismedush 24 hours. So the klolis can reach us. What is the answer to the klolis when we're not in the mismedush? So the answer lies in the lashon of the pasuk, Matoivu Alecha Yaakov Mishkenesecha Yisrael. The Gemara says, Eilu Botek Nesiyos, U Botek Medrash Aspek Demasho. It should say, Matoivu Botecha Yaakov. Why does it say, Matoivu Alecha Yaakov? Why are we talking about tents? Botek Nesiyos is not tents. It's brick walls. It's sturdy walls. Strong walls. Why is it called Matoivu Alecha Yaakov? So the Masho says, the pasuk says that Yaakov is a ish tam yoshev eholim. Yaakov dwelled in tents. That doesn't mean, Masha understands that it doesn't mean that in his youth he learned in a yeshiva. That means that that is what Yaakov is all his life. He never stepped out of the holim. In fact, the Masha is not true. He was 20 years, he was a shepherd for Lavan. He was in the fields of Lavan. He wasn't in the holim those 20 years. So like the Masha, even then he was in the holim. Because the walls of the Ola Shel Shem and Ola Shel Ever are not walls, that not unmovable walls. They're holim, the tent walls. He can take them with him. He goes into the atmosphere of Ola Shel Shem and Ola Shel Ever. And he lives, he takes that atmosphere wherever he goes. He takes it along with him. So then he continues to be in those walls. He continues to have the protection of those walls of Matoivo Alecha Yaakov, of the Yoshiva Holim from Esav, because he's in the atmosphere of Beishem Ve'ever. The definition of the Batek Nesiyas, about the Midrashis, is not the building that it's in. It's the atmosphere that it creates, that a person is in the atmosphere of Torah. He's in a world of itself. It's a separate world. He's in a world of Torah. And that world is a protection. It's a Moir of the Kazakh. Rivka tells Yaakov Avinu that Esav wants to kill you. You have to run away from Esav. Where should you go? So Rivka tells him, go to Lavan. Again, he would run away and Esav would not know where he is. Then happened the story with the brachas at the end of the parasha. And Yaakov got the brachas from Yitzchak. And then Yitzchak tells Yaakov that he's not happy with the Bnei's Knan. He should go to Lavan and take a Isha from there. B'nais Lavan, go take the daughters of Lavan. Go to Lavan and take the daughters from Lavan. And the pasuk says Mefurish, that Esav is listening to Yitzchak talking to Yankov, and he sees that Yankov, that Esav, that Yitzchak is not happy with B'nais Knan. So he went to Yishmael to take a daughter of Yishmael instead of taking B'nais Knan for a wife. That means Esav heard Yitzchak telling Yankov, go to Lavan. So he spoiled the plan. He's running away from Esav to Lavan. And now Yitzchak is telling him exactly where he's running to. He was Megala Said. Now Esav knows exactly where to look for him. He overheard from Yitzchak exactly where he's going. The Teretz is, that's why he went first to Beishem Ve'Eber. He went to create an atmosphere of Beishem Ve'Eber, an atmosphere of Torah, that he takes with him into the fields of Lavan. He never leaves the Bismedish. The Bismedish is with him wherever he goes. Because the walls of the Bismedish are portable, they're movable. They go along with him. The atmosphere of the Bismedish follows him wherever he goes. If he is implanted in the Bismedish, that's where his neshama is. That's where his lev is. That's where his heart is. He belongs to the Bismedish, and he takes, wherever he goes, he takes along that atmosphere wherever he goes. He's in the atmosphere of the Bismedish and he has the protection of that atmosphere. If we have Batek Nesiyos or Batek Midrashos, we have shuls, we have Batek Midrashos, Koilim, Mekayimus HaTorah, we can take that atmosphere wherever we are and continue that atmosphere into our homes, into our businesses. It depends how much we are Shesulim Beveis Hashem, how connected, how rooted we are in the Bismedish. And then, when we go out, we take along the atmosphere of the Bismedish with us. then we have bracha, kule bracha, wherever we go. When a kohel comes to a community, it's not only a bismedesh where to go in and learn. When people come into the bismedesh, they come into the atmosphere of the kohel. It changes over their lives. They're rooted in the bismedesh. It becomes where their heart is, where the lev is. Makam shaleva adam sham hu adam, says the Vilna Gaon. They become connected with the bismedesh, and the atmosphere of the bismedesh spills over to the homes. The home is also connected to bismedesh, going to learn, coming from learning, learning with the children, turning over the home becomes a Torah home and becomes part of that bismedesh. It gets included into the halim of the bismedesh. The whole community changes. The whole community becomes uplifted. The fact that there's a halim, mechitzas nimtaches, mechitzas, that movable walls, includes the whole community. That's the idea of bringing a bismedesh, a makom Torah, atzmin atzmecha b'Torah, in order to make a atmosphere, make a ruach, surrounded by mechitzas of Torah, surrounded by mechitzas that separates us from the rest of the world, that separates us from the dangers of the influence of the rest of the world, because we are living in an atmosphere of Torah, and therefore the influences of the world cannot reach us. We can be mechanech our children for Torah, for Yerushalayim. Our homes are part of that. We are part of this learning experience of the kohel, of this Torah atmosphere that the kohel creates. It uplifts the whole community. And in that atmosphere is kulei bracha. There's no kulei bracha. There's only, over there is only bracha. Over there there's no klola, there's no ayin ra. Over there, all the brachas come along with that. That's the atmosphere of Torah that's created. Now the pasuk is telling us another thing also. Zayis haTorah adam ki yomis b'oil. If someone wants to grow in Torah, Torah should be part of him. The Torah should be miskayim etzloi. Should not leave him. It should stay with him. It cannot be done in a vacuum. It can only be done in the atmosphere of Torah. Yankiv is a Yoshev HaHolim. His life is in the atmosphere of Torah. Whatever he does is part of that atmosphere. It's influenced by that atmosphere. It's B'salecha Chotancha Ischa. The Torah shows him the way. Even in other things that he does. Even as a shepherd. Or whatever he does at home. It's part of that atmosphere of Torah. Of course it means that Yankiv sat and learned. But it doesn't only mean that he sat and learned. It means that it's whole life was in that atmosphere of Torah that was created. And only in such an atmosphere someone could take a really grow in as a Tamil Chachamim. That is Matoivu Alecha Yaakov Mishkinesecha Yisrael. Chazal tell us that Ma'olam Leposke Yeshiva. Klai Yisrael always had yeshivas. From Klai Yisrael. From the days of our Ovis, like Parsha Yeshiva Mehem. Yeshivas never left us. How do we know that? So the Gemara brings a few psukim. Leich Masafta Zikna Yisrael. Go gather all the elders of Klai Yisrael, the Tamid Chachamim of Klai Yisrael. Zikna means Zokim V'yoshiv Yeshiva. And then it says Avram Zokim Baba Yomim. Avram was a Zokin. Zokin means Zokin Zeshakon HaChochma. The Talmud Chochem. That means Avram was a Zokin V'yoshev V'yeshiva. Yitzhak was a Zokin V'hiki Zokin Yitzhak. Yitzhak was a Zokin V'yoshev V'yeshiva. He was a Talmud Chochem and he sat in a yeshiva. Yankiv was a Zokin V'yoshev V'yeshiva. V'eini Yisrael Kav D'mizokin. Even Eliezer. Eliezer was Doi L'mashke B'teis Rabbe L'cheirim. He was in yeshiva. Zekan Beisa Moshe B'chol HaShaloi. Klai Yisrael always had yeshivas with them. It's very interesting. The Gemara does not bring any pasuk about a yeshiva. The Gemara brings the pasuk of Zokin. V'avom Zokin Baba Yomim. He was an elder. It means he was a Talmud Chacham. How did we know he had a yeshiva? What does it mean he had a yeshiva? When Chanan explains, Kloim Meshchina Yimoyim, if someone's a Zokin, and the Yoshiva Yeshiva, someone's a Talmud Chochem, it's a proof that he has Ashur Ashchina. Shchina Yimoyim. In order to be a Zokin, obviously there has to be a Yeshiva. There has to be an atmosphere in order to be a Zokin. As Ishtet in Gemara. It cannot be, a person cannot be a Talmud Chochem, it cannot be a Zokin, it's a Shekona Chochma, if he's not a Yoshiva Yeshiva, if he's not in an atmosphere of Torah. And it goes two ways. In order to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to have an atmosphere of Torah. And obviously, all these yeshivas had a Zokin. They had a Talmud Chacham. In order to make an atmosphere of Torah, you have to make a Chachamim to make an atmosphere of Torah. To make that atmosphere of a yeshiva, that atmosphere of a mokum of Hashuas Hashchina, a mokum for Bracha to be Chal, a mokum for Bracha to exist, that's only if there's Tamil Chachamim in that Makom Torah. Then it's a Makom Torah. It's a Makom Torah of a yeshiva, of a Shechina Yimoyim. A Makom Torah is a more like Rambam, and Rambam is not talking about Midrashis, he's talking about Knesias. Rambam explains the Tzura of a Bais HaKnesses. How is the Bais HaKnesses supposed to look? What is the build, the setup of a Bais Medrash? The Rambam explains of a Bais HaKnesses. The Rambam says that you have to make an Oren, like the Bais HaMikdash. It has to have Luchas, the Oren is supposed to be in front of the Bais Medrash. You have to make a Bima, somewhere to lay the Sefer Torah from. And he says you have to have also Uboinim Ba'Heichel Shemenichem Ba'Sefer Torah. In the front of the Bais Medrash. You put a beam in the empty Bais Medrash. That the one that lands in the Torah should be able to stand there. Or for a Rav or a Rosh of that Bais Medrash. That everyone should hear. And then you make a table with a Sefer Torah. Then the Rambam says, how would people sit in the Bais Medrash? It's halacha. It's not, it's mamish halacha. What is the surah? How do people sit in the Bais Medrash? So the Rambam says that Ha'am, Keser Am Yoshim Bais Medrash, how do people sit in the Bais Medrash? Haskenim Yoshvim, Upneim Klapi Am, the Tamil Chachamim sit and they face the Am. Vachareim klapei heichal, they sit with the backs to the front. V'chol ha'am yoshim shur lefnei shur, they sit one row after the other row. Upnei, and then he says, actually you upnei kol ha'am klapei ha'kodesh, that should all look towards our kodesh. Uklapei ha'skenim, uklapei ha'teva. They should look to the kodesh, they should look to the skenim. That's a surah of Bais Medrash. Bais Medrash has the Tamil Chachamim in front of it, that's a surah of Bais Medrash. That's not only because you need a Hechatimtza, you need a practicality of how to run a shul, someone has to run the shul, someone has to teach them the shul. But the surah of a shul is like there's a Sefer Torah in the shul, there's a Kainim in the shul, there's Tamil Chachamim, Upneim Klapi Om, and the Om looks up to the Tamil Chachamim. A Heichel, a oil is an oil for skenim. A yeshiva, a makom Torah, is a place where there's Tamil Chachamim. And a koil, Baruch Hashem, the difference between a koil and a yeshiva. A yeshiva is young bochrim. They look at the rabbeim are not Tamil Chachamim. And a koil, Baruch Hashem, they're all Tamil Chachamim. All gave their lives, giving their lives to learning many years. Allah is kishtik na Tamil Chachamim. Especially this koil. Every young man here is a Talmud Chacham of fame, a Talmud Chacham worthy of fame, a Talmud Chacham which is from the elite, from the Olam HaTorah. This Bais Medrash also chose Rashi Koil, Ravam David, Jacob Tzvi, now Rav Rashi Koil, Jacob Tzvi, Blejach, Blecha, to lead the Koil, learn Boston, the Yeshiva, Lakewood, Talmud Chacham of note, Talmud Chacham, Mechaber Bevei Chashev, a Sefer. A Sefer that's used when people learn those in Yonim. And he's coming to lead the Kaidel, coming to learn together with the Kaidel, and to uplift the Kaidel. And to make that the Kaidel should be this atmosphere of Torah that's inclusive of the whole community, that the whole community is part of this atmosphere. In order to bring the bracha to the community, in order to bring the atmosphere of Torah to the community, to bring, uplift the community, to uplift the community that their focus in life should be Torah. And that is what gives bracha. That's what gives a person the biggest satisfaction in life. That gives the person the biggest happiness and satisfaction, the fact that he learns and he's connected with Torah. He's part of that atmosphere. That atmosphere is a very happy, a very simchatic atmosphere. An atmosphere of accomplishment, an atmosphere of satisfaction and happiness. And this is what the Kohel brings to the community. And now Baruch Hashem, with Zeicher, that the Kohel has Rosh HaKohel to lead the Kohel, to help the Kohel to grow together with the Kohel, to help the Kohel grow, and to make that atmosphere continue to grow and to thrive and to be inclusive of the whole community and beyond. The biggest hashpah, the biggest influence that the Kohel has is just by being what they are. By making that atmosphere, by sitting and learning. And of course, when people come in to learn with them, as much as possible to go out. But the main hashpah is the fact that they create that community, they create that atmosphere in the community that's inclusive of the whole community that everybody feels part of. And that is what brings bracha to the community. That's what brings hatzlacha to the community. Wherever you see, wherever the kohelim were built, there's a tremendous mapecha, a change in the community. New life comes to the community. New bracha comes to the community. This community too should continue to grow and to thrive and to be that atmosphere of Torah. Baruch Hashem, this is the second Lakewood Kohel in Miami. Yaakov Grossman Zangezunt, also a community Kohel which had this tremendous hashpah of uplifting that atmosphere further down south. And now this community Kohel is to create that atmosphere. The Rebbe Hashem should help that the Rosh HaKohel, and this evening is in honor of the Rosh HaKohel of Yankiv Tzvi Shlita, should continue to kohel and to grow and to uplift this kohel and to strengthen this atmosphere and to see that this atmosphere should be inclusive of the whole community. We should be zeiche that this Olei Chachamim should become part of a greater Olei Chachamim. This oil of Torah should be chubal le'yachtov with Bias Gael Tzedek, when all but the Knesius and all but the Medrashis will be transplanted in Eretz Yisrael and become a schabri, become part of the Beis Hamikdash. Bias Gael Tzedek mehevi amen u'amen.
As the Roshiva mentioned, we're zeicha in our community to have a group of avreichim that, without doubt, are the paradigm of what a Ben Torah is supposed to be in all aspects of life. Their hasmada, they really are Talmidei Chachamim, Bali Midois, people that are really giving a tzura to what a Ben Torah and Malchus HaTorah looks like. And for us, and my family in particular, I owe them a great deal of Hakaras HaTov for giving my children examples and people to look up to and aspire to be like. It is now with pleasure that I call one of the Yungalite up, Rav Menachem Neustadt, to make a special presentation.
Shos the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbanim, Rosh HaKohel, and all those who came tonight beyond our expectations, such a large crowd, and we truly appreciate it. I'd like to take a few moments just to share with you some of our experiences over the past 10 months or so, and perhaps give you a better appreciation of the magnitude of tonight's event. It's almost 4 years to the day that we arrived here in North Miami Beach. Us, the Chavri HaKohel, we moved down here with great hope, great expectations, and lots of excitement to help raise the level of Limud HaTorah in this community. None of those plans included playing a role in choosing a Rosh Kayla for ourselves. Such a decision is not an easy one. A Rosh Kayla has to wear many, many hats. He has to be able to lead us in the Beis Medrash. He has to be a Talmud Chacham. He has to be a leader for the community. And he has to ensure that there should be a financial success to the Maaseh. We were at a loss. How to proceed in making such a difficult decision? That wasn't what we were hired to do. But Baruch Hashem, we're supposed to have two guest speakers tonight. Yeshiva, or Mokhiel, and Rabbi Aaron Cutler. And these two speakers were not just prominent speakers that we put on a poster that would hopefully draw a large crowd. These two speakers were instrumental in helping us. They took us by our hand and guided us in choosing a new Rosh Kailu. Both in their own way spent literally tens, dozens of hours on the phone with every little question we had, not just with us, I know with the board and the Balabatan that were involved, but I'm speaking on behalf of the Chavriya Kailu. Made such a difference to us. We had really nowhere to turn, and out of nowhere, the phone calls came, and we're here, we're with you. Shkail gave us chizuk, he gave us his das tayra, Shiva gave us his das tayra. To every step of the way, anything that came our way, he was there to help us and guide us. Both made special trips to North Miami Beach to take time out of their very, very busy schedules to give us chizuk and to answer any shailos we might have had. And Baruch Hashem, their efforts have borne fruit. In the few weeks that we've had the privilege of spending with our new Rosh Kailu, Rabbi Yaakov Blezer, we've seen that we made the right choice. The tremendous impact that he's had in the Beis Medrash, just in these few weeks, both with us, the Chavriya Kailu, and the Balabatan that he's managed to bring into the Kailu from seemingly out of nowhere. He's shown his willingness to roll up his sleeves and see a project through to its completion as much as possible. And Baruch Hashem, we see that there's a bright future yet for the North Miami Beach Community Kailu. I know it's been mentioned briefly by the MC tonight, but the Chavriya Kailu thought that a special mention is due to a family that is well known for their chesed in the community already and for the chinuch that they provide for our children. Rabbi and Mrs. Lazerson have always been there for the Chavriya Kailu. Been our home away from home, and our family when our families were not close. They pretty much adopted us and treated us as their own children. As mentioned, they opened their doors to host virtually all the candidates that came down to interview for this position. And we know that a large chelik of the credit for Rabbi Yaakov Blezer, for they helped to encourage Rabbi Yaakov Blezer in their correct decision to move to North Miami Beach. May the kesher between you and our Kailo continue to grow for many more years. We'd like tonight to highlight, though, one individual, someone whose name you probably don't know. He doesn't seek the limelight, and the fact that he's at the head table tonight is definitely against his will. But he's someone without whom our journey to this evening's inauguration would have proven much more difficult. He taught us many things, even enriching our vocabulary with such words and catchphrases. It's a process, we need a consensus, and of course, expeditiously. But mostly he taught us how to be nice ba'olam chaveirei, in a real way. We knew that he was always there for us. He lived the process with us. He felt our frustration. He was always there to answer any questions you might have, and he dropped everything that was going on in Lakewood to come visit us, I think, probably about half a dozen times in the 10 months that we've been going through this process. And he did a great job in unifying the Yengalite, uniting the Yengalite together to make this very, very difficult decision. We're therefore very thankful that he's joined us from made the trip from Lakewood to join us tonight. Please join me as we present a special token of our appreciation to Rabbi Yaakov Shulman of Beis Medrash Gevaya's famous renowned placement program in gratitude for all he's done for our Kailal and for all Kailalim throughout the United States of America. Yaakov. Presented to Rabbi Yaakov Shulman Shlita in recognition of his selfless dedication to building Mekaymas HaTaira and with gratitude for his integral role in ensuring the continued success of our Kailal. Chavri HaKailal Chavdal HaKhezvan Tavshin Ayin Beis.
Thank you. I'd like to share a 2-minute thought with the assembled. In Parashat Vayelech, Hashem tells, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael about the deal, the covenant they have with Rabbeinu Shlomo. He says, as Hashem amarta hayoyim, with Hashem, you've committed yourself, lishma kol mitzvah, to keep all the mitzvahs. And he says, as Hashem amircha hayoyim, and Hashem is committed to you, lishma kol mitzvah, to keep all the mitzvahs. It would seem appropriate that Klal Yisrael is committed to keep the mitzvahs with Rabbeinu Shlomo. Why is it that Hashem is committed to keep the mitzvahs with Klal Yisrael? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains a beautiful thought. He explains that Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, I gave you all the mitzvahs. There's nothing else. I gave you every method of Kirvas Elohim. I have nothing else to give you. I gave Avraham Milah. I gave Adam 7 mitzvahs. But you should know, there's no other, after I gave Tariq Mitzvah to Klal Yisrael, there's no other secrets. I've been in the Kail field for 15 years. And I think it's a fair thing to say that there's nothing else that will be meroim in the community like a Kail, like B'nai Torah bringing in true Torah learning. And I'm happy I was part of this long, arduous journey. And more than that, I'm thrilled for the North Miami Beach community. There's B'nai Torah of the finest that we have to offer. Rabbeinu Shalom is saying, I don't have a better secret for you. There's no better method of Kirvas Elohim than this Kol that exists. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be part of this.
We will now see a video presentation that was sent to us by Rabbi Lapiansky Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva of Greater Washington, and Rabbi Avinu Rosh Kailal, and he will deliver a message in honor of this event.
May Rav Reisai, Bershus, all of the Chasher Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshivas, it's a simcha to be mishtatif, a little bit of a tzar that I wasn't able to be there personally. It's something that I've been in a kusher tremendously with the Rosh Kailal and would have liked to be there personally, but Belibi and Nishmasi, I'm there and sharing the Simcha with everybody. I'd like to try and get a sense of what's this new type of the so-called community called Limudim. What Chelik of Torah does it belong to? How would we describe it? It's chiddush. There is, on the one hand, a base measure of chiddush. On the other hand, everything has an anchor in the Messiahs. Everything is part of the Messiahs. What is that part? I would stell it to Chazal in Sukkah, where Chazal speak about Torah being mishutif with chesed. It says in the pasuk, the Torah's chesed al shayna, that the Eishes Chayil has a Torah of Chesed. And Chazal described, what does it mean, Torah of Chesed? How do the two go together? A person can learn and a person can do Chesed, but how does it become one conglomeration? And Chazal have two pshatim. One is Torah Lishma versus Torah not Lishma, and that's something that we would like to understand how that's chesed or not chesed. And the second pshat is Torah to teach others is called Torah's chesed, whereas Torah that's not melami to others, it's not Torah's chesed. It's Torah, but not Torah's chesed. In other words, In Torah itself, a person can learn and understand Torah as being Toiv, and the Toiv is something that by nature wants to be given off to somebody else. The Lashon and Kadmonim is that it's Mederech HaTov Lehetiv, that it is the Derech of that which is good to want to give. And if a person is Toyim the Toiv in Torah, then it is something that the Hatava comes automatically. If a person's Te'ima of Toiv in Torah is Toiv in Torah, then the Lulamed is not a second phase. It's not the Pshat, I'm learning it, and yes, I also have a Chir to teach it. That, if a person has that attitude, it becomes somewhat of a struggle, somewhat of a tug of war, how much for myself, how much for the other. But if a person is Toyim, the Toiv in Torah, the goodness Shabbat, then the giving to the other and the telling to the other is part and parcel of his learning. As the person is inspired by the Chachm of Torah, so he's inspired by the Toiv of Torah, and teaching it becomes an extension of his learning, it becomes part and parcel of learning rather than some sort of conflicting chiyuvim and mitzvahs. I'd like to sort of delineate this point with a fascinating insight I saw in a sefer. I don't know if many of you are familiar with it, but it's actually a hakadama of a very chashuv sefer on Shechita Treifus. It's called Chavah Nachlasei. And in his hakadama, he talks about Torah, and a point that he focuses on, and in a most lomdei shoifen, he deals with some fundamental inyanim, and he speaks about the inyan of Torah that might be called gzela, stolen Torah. He speaks about the mashal akum, learning, where there's a problem of, since it belongs to Kol Yisrael, there's the element of gzela, and betuf tam, the person is meirich and builds a whole inyan. But to sort of summarize the inyan, he explains two inyanim that would possibly stamp Torah as stolen Torah rather than mereshes. Torah is mereshes kilos Yaakov, it's a Yerusha, it's ours. There are pagamim in Torah, there are some misuses that might actually categorize the Torah as stolen. One inyan is, if it's lacking in the amelus of the kinyan of Torah. The Torah is Torah Hashem, but if the person works and it is misyageya and is omel, then it becomes his Torah. So if a person is patchling with Torah and there's no amelus in it, it's not that he shvitz through it, worked for it, heart of it, and he has pshat because he earned it, but omel, and yagia kapo, then it's a p'china of gzeila d'katayra. And a second inyan he brings from Mishnah Sevarim, it's a chazal, it's a medrash, that Reb Yanai once was very sharp with Ram Aretz, and Amoritz told him, "You're a gazlan." And he looked at him, and he said, the Amoritz told him, "I once passed by a cheder, and I heard the Rebbe teaching Talmidim, and the Rebbe said, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Meireshes Kehilas Yaakov. Kehilas Yanai Loi Nema, Kehilas Yaakov Nema." In other words, he said, the Yerusha came for everybody. Imagine an older brother taking hold of the Yerusha and shutting the young Yosem out of it. That's Gzela, a terrible Gzela. So he says, if Torah is Meireshes Kehilas Yaakov, if everyone has it, then how is it that the Yanai doesn't have it? How is it that only Yanai has it? How is it that it's not by the Amoritz? The answer is, Yanai is holding a chelik that's not his. And for his Torah to be pure, to be emes Torah, and to be Torah that is his, he needs to give over those halakim that belong to the people that don't have it. That's the that's the point he makes in a very, very strong and the Lundeshak Dhamma. Rosh Koyl, Hagoyen, Rav Yaakov Tzvi, who, by the way, happens to be a Mechaber of Chav Nachlosai, and I am proud to say that he lives up fully to that Akdama. That Akdama is not nice words, but he lives it. Ever since I remember him, Mishach HaNurov, when I came to Yeshiva, he was, I believe, an 11th grader, and one of the Talmidim Chavidim, there's a picture behind me of HaGoyen Rav Dal Einim Zech Tzadik Levracha, was their Rebbe, and was a person who was miyased everything here. There were two in Janim about Yaakov Tzvi, at that time known Chvilas as Yatzi, that stuck out and set him apart from others. His Yegiyah and Amol, he knew things because he worked hard for them. There was things he didn't understand, didn't just float by, didn't just go by. Things were earned error. Everything that he got, acquired, and knew, then it was done with Amol and Yegiyah and became his. He just profoundly disliked repeating words, lundish as they sound, and nice as they sound, if they weren't his, if he was parroting, nothing came off the top of his head. It was worked through, schwitzed through, and proudly given over as something that he was kind of a Yegiyah. And the second part was his tremendous sharing and goodness. His care, his sensitivity to others, his pleasantness and pleasantness and so on. Those were two things that really, really stuck out. And even in a very good chabur of a wonderful bachur, who today are all Baruch Hashem, our Beis HaTorah, he stood out as being unique in both his milas. It's a tremendous asset to have these milas for such a bachur, because these are the milas that really, really are the basis for a bachur like that. I had a relative, Chaim Lebracha, who started a yeshiva in a Litvish shtetl called Rumshishak, a small town, and he was very hesitant about starting it. And he went to Rav Elchanan to be Messiahs. And he asked Rav Elchanan, I don't know if we'll succeed, who's going to come, and so on. So Rav Elchanan told him the following. He said, Torah is toiv. Torah is goodness. Und teiv hat Zuziehungskraft. Goodness draws people in. People are drawn in by goodness. So the type of Torah that's needed for a place that wants to draw, include people, draw them into it, is a Torah that has a special dogish, a special emphasis on the toiv shabbat. And the person who was so suited for the Meireshes Kilos Yaakov is the Rosh Kollel of Yaakov Tzvi. It is a day of Simcha for us here and for you that he was Zoicha to begin putting his Kishreinus into an enterprise that so well fits his Metzias. And that Torah should be Nespashit. Torah is Nespashit. It should be a place that reflects the two characters that require Torah to become your Torah. One, that it's Torah that's gotten through Omel and Yegiyah. It's earned, not skimmed. It's nikna through a person's own Avodah and Yegiyah. And secondly, that a person understands the apotropsis that he has, the achrayas he has, to give it to the people who it belongs to. It belongs to all of Chayisol, belongs to all of Kilos Yaakov, and Be'ez Hashem, it will return there. Mazel tov, and tremendous hatzlacha.
And I want to take the opportunity to call on the Rosh HaKollel, Rav Aaron David Singer. It goes without say that he is a person who literally was a nachshein in the moment when we needed it most, was willing to take on himself the oil to take the helm of the kollel when it needed somebody to guide it through very difficult times. He's a person who he's a person with unique qualities and talents, and he was the right person at the right time to take upon himself this position. And as Nachshon, when he jumped into the Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Yamsuf it opened and split for him, and it was smooth from that point on, the movements and the dedication that the Rosh Kollel Rav Aaron David has put into this kollel should be also with the Kriya. It should open up, it should be easy for him. It should the bracha, the siyata d'shmaya, and all the hatzlacha that the kollel deserves should come al yodai through his shlichus and through his schus. And emetz Hashem, we should be zeichet to see him and the whole kollel continue to grow. Call on the Rosh Kollel to please say a few words.
I'm not really speaking now. I'm really bad, so I'm just introducing Rabbi Blazer. But while I'm here, it's a rare opportunity that I have, that I got to thank my father and my mother. My mother, I don't believe, is here, but my father's here. And it's only due to their constant encouragement that and my father put, I don't know if anybody knows, but hundreds of hours in legal assets, county assets, to get everything going. So anybody has any hanof from the kollel, owes really the hakar satoiv and the thanks to my mother and my father. It's such a moving thing to see so many people here. And Lisa, as everybody heard, we past 10, 11 months, whatever it is, has been a lot of avoda, a lot of work, and Baruch Hashem, a tremendous amount of atzlocha. And I know, kefi the effort, the mesiras nefesh that we put into the kollel, the Yingalei, the board, Avi Wagshel, Mir Rosenberg, Chaim Meisels, and everybody else. We managed to put hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and thought and concern and an emotional effort to keep everything going. And with that mesiras nefesh, all those kriches that went into it, there's no suffix at all that makes a tremendous ration in Shemayim. And this kollel Be'ez Hashem will grow and continue. More people will come, more Torah will be learned, there will be more Kiddush Hashem, more Gilui Kvod Shemayim in the world. And Baruch Hashem, Noir Rabbi Blazer, who's going to bring the kollel to new heights, to greater Harbatz HaTorah, to greater levels of Limud HaTorah, to know community together to learn Torah. And Be'ez Hashem, we're going to see in South Florida, kollelim opening up here, and have in turn, Hollywood, Holland, wherever it is. And Be'ez Hashem, Torah Mamish, because spit all day in South Florida. So it's a big schuss for me. It's a big schuss for the whole kollel. And we shall always see bracha. And with that, I introduce our pleasure who's gonna bring us all there, Be'ez Hashem.
Mishus, Rabbonim, Rosh Yeshiva, Chavri HaKollel, Talmidei Chachamim, Kol HaKol HaKodesh Hazeh. Be'etzem, speaking last, has two chesroinus. First, it's speaking last. Everyone already heard some speeches. Maybe not everyone is interested in hearing anymore. Second, which I didn't realize, that a lot of what I said have been said already. So just bear with me. It may sound repetitive, but the minig is to be poischim b'chvoid achsanya. We begin by thanking the hosts, those that are responsible for making this event possible. And I thought that would be a very simple way to start. I wouldn't have to think too much. Do I start with a joke? Do I start with a maisa, a vart? This is a very simple way to begin. The problem was, when I started thinking about it, I realized, it's not posha, bechlal, who is the achsanya of this event? Who do I thank, and who's responsible for making it happen? There are many achsanyas for this event. The first is the general North Miami Beach community. Even just tonight, someone told me, he said he comes to the kollel every day to learn. He doesn't live directly in North Miami Beach. He lives in a surrounding neighborhood. He comes in to learn. And he thought, you know, the kollel, it's Yingalei learning. It's a very vibrant based medrash. But he didn't realize how rooted it is in the community. He comes here and he sees the turnout, how many people care and show tremendous warmth and love towards the kollel. They come and want to take part in this event. He was tremendously moved. And we, here in the Kol are also tremendously moved. And we really appreciate everybody's hishtatfus in this event. But more than that, the environment that was created by the community, the warmth, the nature of the people, the welcoming nature of the people, and it's really created an environment that has allowed the Kol to flourish in this community. The next achsanya is, of course, our shul, where we daven and learn Congregation Shari Tfila. This has been the home of the Kol since its inception, and we would like to publicly thank them for everything that they have done on our behalf. I would also like to publicly thank Mar D'Asser, Rabbi Shapiro Shlita, who unfortunately is not able to make it tonight. We have tremendous Hakaras Hatov for all he does on our behalf as well. Finally, the achsanya for this event is the North Miami Beach Kol itself. The dedicated Balabatim, as Rabbi Singer mentioned before, the dedicated Balabatim, who have literally spent countless hours, sleepless nights, seeing that the Kol could reach its goals. It is them who would not give up and insisted that the Kol would continue. Without them, I surely would not be here tonight. And I hope to be able to continue working with them to bring the Kol to greater heights. Then comes a group of about more roughly 20 special people. These people are the ones who actually fulfill the mission of the Kol. They do the Avodas HaKodesh of the Kol, and they bring the dream of the Kol to reality. Through thick and thin, they never ceased to do their Avodas HaKodesh and to be Barbar Kavod Shemayim. Of course, I'm referring to our tremendously Choshev Yungalai. And their families, their wives. Their avoida is in private, but in the Messiah of my Rebbe, Meir Stern Shlita, would always thank the wives of the Kol at the Yeshiva dinner. I think it's appropriate that they deserve the recognition for standing, not only for standing behind their husbands, but for their contributions to the community as well. Thank you. Finally, there's one person who's Oymid Beperetz, who literally served as a dam in front of the raging waters and was able to pull the Kol through in its transition period. What was remarkable is not only the results he was able to produce, but his demeanor while doing so, always with a smile, never losing his cool. A tremendous Yisr Shekoyach to my Shutef Rav Aaron Dovich Singer Shlita. Hashem, we should be able to continue working together to be Ma'arav Kavod Shemayim in this community. I would also like to specifically thank those people who traveled from far and near to join us in this event. Every single person here is a chalik of the Kavod Shemayim, which is Nisrab through this Maimid. Especially the Rosh Yeshiva Shlita, who came specially from Lakewood. And as we mentioned before, the Lakewood Yeshiva played a tremendous role in this process, not only as Rabbi Neustadt mentioned, on the Yungalite side, but as well for me and all the people that were involved. It's a schus for us in this community and this Kol to have this affiliation and this close kesher with the Lakewood Yeshiva. Yisr Koyach. Special thanks to my family members who have traveled from Silver Spring, Maryland, New York, and even my father who made a special trip from Argentina especially to join us here tonight. Obviously, I would like to take this opportunity to thank them. If not for the chinuch that we received and the role models that we had as parents, we would not be able to be here this evening. And one last Yisr Koyach is to my family for willing to be able to move down here and leave the comfortable environment where we were, be able to be mishtatif in this avodas hakodesh. Yisr Koyach. Thank you. Okay, so just remember that was the poiskin v'chvoid achsanya. I mentioned a few times the mission of the Kohel. I wanted to just talk a little bit about what is the mission of the Kohel. And the Reshiva touched upon it a little bit, and I'll say it in my own words, the way I understand it. The primary and the first and foremost of the Kohel is bringing Tamidei Chachamim of stature to the community, people that are Omel Batayra, Yoimon Valayla. They bring the Kedusha Satayra into the air of the community, so that the members of the community can breathe in Torah, which is saturated with the Amelos B'Torah of the Chashuv Yungalai. That's one aspect. That's the Lilmoid. The impact that such Amelos B'Torah has on a community is immeasurable. It's impossible for us to possibly put in words the Chashivas of having Talmud Torah being learned around the clock in our community. And that's ultimately what the Kohel provides. But it's not just Lilmoid, it's Lilmoid Ululamed. It's teaching, learning, and teaching. The Kohel provides learning opportunities for every single person, no matter what their level is. The doors are always open. And whether it be a Chavrusa, a Chabura, or a Shir, everybody's needs are catered to. And we are able, Baruch Hashem, to provide those opportunities for those that are interested in learning and those that maybe are not always interested in learning, but come. And that's also a part of the mission, of the vision of the Kohel, to be Lilmoid and to be Lilamed. But really, it's much deeper than both of those. It's much deeper than that. It's about creating a Mokum Torah. And why is that so significant? Why is it so important to create a Mokum Torah? Shiva discussed a little bit. Explain what the Vart, the Chassam Sefer says in this week's parasha, the parasha we read yesterday. Avram sends Eliezer to find a wife for his son Yitzchak. He forbids him to take a Canaanite girl for his son, and he says, "L'sikach isha levni mibnei sakanani." But he adds a phrase at the end of the pasuk, "Asher anoichi yoshev bikir boy." I dwell amongst the Canaanim, and don't take a daughter from the Canaanim amongst whom I dwell. Why is it negeya? Why is it important for Yitzchak, for Avram, to say that phrase, "Asher anoichi yoshev bikir boy"? Zoktach some soifer, because Eliezer had a kasha. What does it matter who Yitzchak marries? Yitzchak's a big tzaddik. Whoever comes into the house of Yitzchak will surely learn from Yitzchak. So even if she's a Canaanite girl and she doesn't have the best midas, but once she comes into Yitzchak's home, she'll learn from Yitzchak. She'll become a tzaddikus overnight. So why schlep to Haran? Why schlep elsewhere? Just take the local girl, and she'll learn from Yitzchak. It's not enough to come and talk to Yitzchak. It's not enough to come and learn from Yitzchak. But you have to leave your environment. You have to leave your surroundings and enter a new environment. Enter the environment that's been created by Yitzchak. And through that you could shteig from Yitzchak and grow from Yitzchak. Asher anoichi yeshev bikir boy, since I live in Canaan, taking a girl from here and bringing her to Yitzchak's house is not going to remove her from her surroundings. She won't feel that she's entering a new environment. You must catapult yourself out of this current environment, out of where you are, and into a new environment. That's why we have to take someone else. We have to take someone that will feel that they're entering a new environment. That's the chashivas of a Mokum Torah in a community. Mokum Torah in a community is an environment of Torah. It creates an atmosphere of Torah. And it's the place where Torah is vibrant, Torah is in the air. A person can come in and grow just from being part of it. Like the Reshiva said, the values that the world presents to us and puts in our face, it's almost impossible to avoid. The only way to avoid it is by leaving that atmosphere for a few minutes a day, leaving that atmosphere for an hour a day, the whole day, coming in to an atmosphere of Torah. And that's the way for us to protect ourselves, and that's the way to really grow from the Torah. A person comes into a Mokum Torah, that's where, there he could feel the Mesikas of Torah, there he could really feel the sweetness and what Torah is all about. When we plant Mekumis HaTorah in a community, the community grows and flourishes. And this has been proven, communities, one community, one at a time throughout the country. And Baruch Hashem, in this community, we have Mekumis HaTorah, and the Kohel has been able to be part of the growth the tremendous growth of the community through its Mekayimes HaTorah. When I look at here at the crowd that's gathered here tonight, I gain tremendous confidence when I see the bright future of the Kollel. I see a community of people who are eager to continue learning, eager to grow, eager to learn more, eager to become part of the atmosphere of the Kollel. We have, Baruch Hashem, been able thus far to provide that which the community needs and be able to be there for the community in providing that the resources for the continual growth of the community. We have added already and we will continue to add programs, and as the need continues, we will be there to provide the resources that the community will need to continue this growth and the growth that has been here since day one and the growth that we see in front of our eyes that's taking place all through the Mekayimes HaTorah, the Kollel, the Yeshivas, the Batei Knesiyos, that are all spearheaded by the Talmidei Chachamim in the city, the Rabbonim and the Rishei Yeshiva. And Baruch Hashem, I have a tremendous schos to be able to join the Rabbonim and join the Rishei Yeshiva, to be able to lead the community into greater heights through Limud HaTorah. I was going to say that I am personally, I'm eager to meet and get to know each and every one of you here personally. But looking around at the faces, I don't know everybody, but in the few short weeks I've been here, the warmth and the welcoming of the people here has been tremendous. And I've already met most of you, so hopefully I'll get to know everybody a little bit better. But we hope that the Kollel will continue to be an environment that everyone feels comfortable in and everyone feels a part of. And it's the home away from home for everybody to come and steig and join that atmosphere and that environment. I would like to just end the Shevach Tzvaidah to the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving me this opportunity to be Marbitz Torah and to be part of this Choshev Mokum Torah and to be part of this Choshev Kehila Kedosha. And we'll be all be Zoyche to see the continual growth of Torah through this Mokum Torah and through all the Mokum Torah in this community. Thank you very much all for coming. Good evening. Good night.